Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Kanier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. Thank you for listening this morning. And so on today's show, I have a returning guest. I have Michelle Miner-Wolf. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Carol.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. And for those of you that may only be listening for the first time, which I hope not, Michelle is the Executive Director of VIP for Wayne and Pike County, correct?
That's right.
Yes. And I love to say Pike County, too, because, you know, that's evolved over the last couple of years.
Absolutely. It's
probably even like, what, 2-3 years already now?
Or July 2018, officially branched out there. We were providing some services before that, but July of 2018, we officially had the contract. So
And it's
time's flying.
Yeah, we're in 2021 now. It's going on 3 years. So we are here to talk about, you know, a serious subject. It's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So, Michelle, can you tell our audience a little background about that and how, you know, they've kind of picked April as the month to kind of recognize that?
Absolutely. So Sexual Assault Awareness Month, interestingly enough, is only 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we've been doing this work so much longer than that. But that's when the official Awareness Month of April began. Mm-hmm. But as long as there's been people who care about making the world a better place, there's been individuals advocating for sexual assault prevention. In the United States, movements for social change and equality began to gain traction in the 1940s and 50s, believe it or not, and that was during the Civil Rights era. And although open discussion of the realities of sexual assault and domestic violence weren't a thing back then, activists for equal rights began to challenge the status quo. And it was those men and women who really opened the path for advocates and activists for social change against sexual violence opened up the way for us. So wide social activism around the issue of sexual assault continued in the 1970s, and that's when it began to bring with it support for survivors and heightened awareness. And in fact, the first rape crisis center was founded in San Francisco in 1971, and that's where the first Take Back the Night was held 7 years later, which I know you'll probably get to that.
Yes.
Interestingly, historically for Pennsylvania, the first rape crisis centers were in 1972, and that was in WAR, Women Against Rape in Philadelphia, and PAR, the Pittsburgh Action Against Rape. And then VIP was established in 1988, so we weren't all that far behind them.
No.
We're starting our own history. But Sexual Assault Awareness Month really began because even though Take Back the Night events were being held for many, many years before the first Sexual Assault Awareness Month was recognized, the thing was that one night wasn't enough.
Right.
So
right.
They, you know, the activists and the advocates decided we need a whole month of it. And really, we need to be doing it every year.
And you
every
do.
Month.
And I think, and you know, for VIP here in Wayne and Pike County, you do that every year, 365 days a year. You know, you are always on call. So, you know, I'm going to ask you to give the number again, but can you give us one of the numbers
that
people can reach out to? You know, because if they're only listening to this first 4 minutes of the show, we want to get that phone number out there. If someone is experienced sexual assault or anything involved with domestic violence, you're here for them.
Absolutely. And we have a 24-hour crisis hotline, and that number is 570-253-4401.
Okay, great. And we will list that again at the end of the show. So, you know, I know you mentioned Take Back the Night, okay? And, you know, this show is airing at the perfect time because it's going to be this Wednesday, right? April 21st.
Yes, I can't believe it's coming around so quickly, and I hope the weather holds out for us. But we do have a rain date, or snow date, I should say, this year. It'll be just a week later. But yes, this will be our 21st Take Back the Night event, actually. And when we first started them, they were outside. Mm-hmm. And then we started to move inside because we had so many weather issues. And with our local, the Cooperage, at our local Cooperage project on Main Street, that's been a wonderful place for people. They just love it. And that's why we've had it inside for so many years now. But due to the pandemic and social distancing and the limitations, we are holding it outside again, old school fashion. And it'll be right in front of the courthouse steps. And the speakers will be able to be on the steps to be a little bit elevated so the crowd can hear them better.
Oh, great.
But it's a night where folks come together. And historically, it started because way back in the day, it was always about stranger rape and danger, stranger, stranger danger, and don't walk down the alleys and don't walk alone and all those things. But we all know now that 3/4 of the time, victims know their perpetrator. So whether it's a serious intimate partner, a former partner, an acquaintance, a classmate, you know, even with children, the majority of times they know it's a family member or a leader in some kind of other, you know, athletics or something. So we still call it Take Back the Night only because when we started with that whole don't walk down the alley thing,
okay,
it was about we're taking back the night. We're taking back that power. We're not going to be afraid and we're going to walk together and we're going to lift each other up.
Mm-hmm.
So the name sticks for historical purposes. But it's much more now, you know, educating the community that it's not always the strangers we need to be looking out for. It's people that we know.
Right. Yeah. Right. And do you have tips, you know, on your website or more information on your website that people, you know, want to find out on how to protect themselves against sexual assault?
Yeah. So we have a lot of information on our website. It's one of the things that during the pandemic that we had a nice facelift on. So there's tabs on all sorts of different things like that. And they can always email us too. We have a general email now if they want to email us at vip@vipempowers.org. If they need some other information that they can't find on there, we can send them some things electronically.
Okay, great. Yeah. Yes. And that's wonderful to know. So, yeah, so that's just one of the couple of programs that you're having in April for this. There's another program after that, the next night, right?
Yes. I call it a night of hope and resilience.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a speaker. Her first name is Gigi. And I really want to lift her up for that evening. She grew up in Honesdale.
Okay.
And she, the first time she ever spoke publicly about her story of sexual abuse and incest was at our Take Back the Night in Honesdale at the Cooperage.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that until I read her book. So we did meet, you know, and she wanted to speak and she spoke and it was wonderful. And we're going to have her again, you know, at a different Take Back the Night in the future. And we're doing some other things, but she's a lovely woman and gave a great presentation. And, you know, as is typical with our Take Back the Night events, we usually have, we hear from people within the next couple of days or weeks that, oh, I was there. I'm ready to talk. I'm mm-hmm. ready to, you know, heal from my stuff. And then they start receiving services and someday they may speak too. That's usually the progression that we see.
Right.
And Gigi was always so thankful and grateful for that opportunity that night. And I said, no, thank you. And then I read her book and lo and behold, that's how I found out the first time she ever spoke publicly was at our event. And I'm like, wow, Gigi, that's so cool because she was so strong that night. Mm-hmm. And I just figured she was speaking all over the place. And now she does. She's part of Resilient Voices and she speaks all over the Commonwealth.
Wow, to have her back here then with us.
I know.
It's such a gift for our community.
Yes.
To have somebody like that. So can you tell us like the date and the time? Because and there's options, right, for in-person
yes.
or live?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's April 22nd mm-hmm. at the Inn at Noble Lane. And if you're coming in person, you need to be there at 5:30 because it goes live at 6 o'clock. So there's a live feed that's global. Through Let the Women Speak. So on our Facebook page, if it's not there already, it's going to be the instructions, which is pretty much to find Let the Women Speak on your own Facebook.
Okay.
And then you just really tune in there. It's
okay.
going to be live. So you don't need a Zoom link or
oh,
anything
that's good.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it'll just be aired that way. We are requesting that people register because space is limited and we are having it catered with some fancy desserts that
Ooh.
The Noble Inn is, mm-hmm. the Inn at Noble Lane is doing. So we do have room for, I think we have about 10 to 15 more spaces the last I checked.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
People should register if they want to come. If they show up and they're not registered and there's room, we're certainly going to let them in.
Okay.
But if it does fill up,
right.
you know, we'll have to turn people away. Although I will put that on Facebook if mm-hmm. it fills up in time.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's going to be a night where we can hear Gigi speak and she'll talk about her book and she will have some available that evening. She didn't think she was going to have them in time, but she is. So, we're really, really looking forward to that.
Right. And again, this is just a probably inspirational story on, you know, her personal story and experience that can help many, many people out there
mm-hmm.
that is listening. You know, and again, if you can't get there, you know, just log into that Facebook page.
Yeah.
And what was that again? The
Let the Women Speak.
Let the Women
yes.
Speak.
And it's global. So there's, I watched it with, actually I was in present for one of the other ones that they did. And there were people from all sorts of countries coming in. So it's really cool.
Wow, that's awesome. So, okay. And, you know, you have another, you have a couple of things going. So I don't know if we'll cover all of them, but you can visit definitely your website to get more. But what about were you wearing?
Yes. What was she wearing? So that is a question that's often asked of rape victims or about rape victims. And it doesn't matter what she was wearing. Your clothing does not invite rape or sexual assault. It's wrong regardless of what you were wearing. So there is a national project that has gone on, and we've now participated in our own community about it. And what we do is we display outfits that resemble some stories that we've heard. Mm-hmm. So whether it be a female construction worker, or we have one from a nun, because yes, nuns can get raped and sexually assaulted, and other outfits like that, to show that it does not matter what you were wearing. Mm-hmm. It is never the victim's fault, and definitely not attire. So we have these displayed in Finders Keepers, Cat's Pajamas, and the other shop in Honesdale, and they have stories with them, not with any identifying information, just, you know, what the situation may have been, to show that, yes, it's normal people, normal women, normal men, normal children that are getting raped with no cause of their own.
Right, right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, we do talk a lot about women, and because, am I correct, the percentage of individuals who are raped or sexually assaulted are women.
Yes.
But it can happen to men also.
Correct. And we do provide services to males. They're offered the same services as anybody. So all of our services are open to men and women and children.
Right. And I know in the past of us speaking, they're free services.
Yes.
And they're all confidential. That's what individuals need to know. It's confidential.
Yes.
Right. And that's really important. And the last thing I want to kind of mention is you are able to have your yearly flower sale.
Yes. We missed it last year. The geraniums.
Yes.
Yes. And in fact, now you can even order online through our website. So if anybody doesn't have the paperwork that we mail out, feel free to go on the website. Although there is a little fee for paying by credit card.
Mm-hmm.
They can also call us and put their order in and mail us a check if they wanted to do that. But the nice thing about it is we deliver to you. So if you want your flowers delivered, we will deliver to you. Or we are inviting people this year, if they would prefer to come pick them up at the fairgrounds, they can just drive through. We can load their trunk. They do not have to get out of their car. They don't have to have any personal contact. And we can just put it right in their trunk, and they can just keep on going.
How nice.
Yeah. It's in the arena part where the 4-H does their stuff. So that's where they would need to come. But yes, they can do that. And we have geraniums and million bells.
Okay. And Gerber daisies. I say that because Gerber daisies is my daughter's favorite flower, I do love them too, and they're just a beautiful flower.
Yeah.
But I usually do support that, and because I use those flowers around my house for this, you know, summertime, and they're beautiful flowers out there. So we do have like 2 minutes left. Any last words for our audience, Michelle, that you want to kind of talk about with sexual assault?
Well, one thing that's really important is that if somebody comes to you and starts sharing something that they've been assaulted or abused in some kind of way, the most important thing is to please believe them and offer compassion, and then give them our number or refer them to us, whatever's best. Call us. We can talk to them on the phone when you're with them. But too many times in today's world, sexual assault survivors and victims are not always believed, or they're challenged with questions like, well, what were you wearing, or were you drinking? You know, and none of that matters. And it's really important to believe them and get them the help that they need, especially if they need any kind of medical attention.
Right, right. And so what number, you have a 24-hour hotline now, correct?
Crisis
line. And what's that phone number?
570-253-4401.
Right. And it doesn't matter if they live in Wayne or Pike County.
Correct.
You're covering, they can call that number, correct?
Yes, absolutely. 24 hours a day.
Okay, that's really wonderful. So again, you know, Michelle mentioned some events that are coming up for this coming week. Please check out their website. Again, the website, VIP.
Empowers.org.
Right, exactly. And you can visit that, and or you can give myself a call, Carol Kinnear, at 570-253-8422, and we have that we'll have this show pre-recorded and continue to be listening to on our website, which is really great nowadays. So because the information, except for some of the programs that we provide, but the information that you shared with our audience today, Michelle, I think is so important and so needed. You know, we want to really kind of fight this and stop this from happening.
Yes.
That's really the goal. So, Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Carol.
And I know you'll be back on. So, again, this is Carol Kinnear, Wayne Memorial Community Health Manager, wishing you a great day, and thank you for listening.